Gospel of Luke in chapter 5. The last time we dealt with the paralytic in verses 17 and through to 26, but some weeks ago we dealt with the 12th verse and 12th verse alone. And this morning, I want to deal with verses 12 through to 16 in connection with the Lord's Supper. So we'll begin reading at verse 12 and read through to verse 16. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. And it happened, when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. We spent a whole morning looking at verse 12, so we don't want to spend more time looking at it, except summarize it in the words of one of the great fathers in the faith. And let me quote him. And this is what Matthew Henry says. Now let us learn here first what we must do in the sense of our spiritual leprosy or our spiritual uncleanness, which we all have to deal with. First, we must seek Jesus, inquire after him, acquaint ourselves with him, and reckon the discoveries made to us of Christ by the gospel the most acceptable and welcome discoveries that could ever be made to us. Secondly, we must humble and reverence ourselves before him, just like this leper. Seeing Jesus, he fell on his face. We must be ashamed of our pollution, and in the sense of it, blush to lift up our faces before the holy Jesus. We must earnestly desire to be cleansed from the defilement and cured of the disease of sin which renders us unfit for communion with God. Fourthly, we must firmly believe in Christ's ability and sufficiency to cleanse us. Fifthly, we must be importunate in prayer for pardoning mercy and renewing grace. For he fell on his face and besought him or implored him that he would be cleansed. And this is what we are taught in verse 12. And it happened when Jesus was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And we have many needs. As I reminded ourselves last time we considered this, we have personal needs, family needs, church needs, world needs. And our greatest need is to be cleansed from day to day. And for those who are unsaved, here's the promise of Jehovah in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. For believers, the Lord Jesus says this, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. And so we need cleansing, each one of us. This leper is not only a leper, but he is a great example and a rebuke to us, to our own prayer life, to our own importunity in praying, to our own tone of reverence and falling down before God and taking hold of Christ for the most important things. And we have to ask ourselves, each one of us, is this the tone of our Christianity? Are these the things in which we are growing? And if not, let us resolve to seek to study the Word of God in its entirety and to pray according to these teachings that we have both here and in every place. Then we want to look at verse 13 and following. Notice the response of the Lord Jesus Christ to this poor, unclean, ostracized leper. First of all, Jesus Christ has compassion on him, doesn't he? He put out his hand and touched him. This is the first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ reveals to this man. This man who comes with a full-orbed understanding, and we considered this, of who Jesus Christ is. Remember, the Jew never bows before anyone except God. We have it explicitly taught in the book of Esther and the story of Mordecai. But here is this leper who addresses him as Lord, kurios in the Greek, which is a word that is used of Jehovah God. It's used of masters and those who are worthy of respect. But here you see he combines it with true worship. He falls down on his face, ascribing to him divinity, messiahship. And he's aware of his own need and he's submissive to the will of God. And he calls upon him, he implores him. And to all those who does this, the Lord Jesus Christ shows compassion. He reaches out and touches him. And notice his expression of clarity about his will for him. He says, I am willing, be cleansed. Now there are many situations in life where we are not clear about the will of God. There is, of course, what the theologians call the secret will of God that is hidden within the triune counsels of the Godhead, even Jehovah. But there are many issues in life that are clearly, according to the Word of God, either by direct teaching or by evident reason drawn out from the teaching, as the great Martin Luther put it, made clear to us. And here, in this particular case, the Lord Jesus reveals to him directly that he desires him to be cleansed, to be restored. Now, we cannot say the same thing about all sickness for every believer or unbeliever. This passage is no guarantee that you can come and be healed of your sicknesses. There are some sicknesses that the Lord heals, either by medicinal means or by miraculous means. But none of us know what those particular situations are. But in the revealed will of God, as I said, these are particular examples of our inner cleansing, even as Matthew Henry says, the leprosy of sin. In every case, if we approach him as the leper here approached him, in humility and reverence, and with imploring persistence, regarding it as the most important thing in life, then God's will is clear. For all those who feel their uncleanness, who know their uncleanness. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ says, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to me for the cleansing of the soul. Or as he put it in John 3:16, whoever calls upon the name of Jehovah. Or as we have it in Isaiah 45, which is quoted again in Romans chapter 10, whoever calls on the name of the Lord. Now maybe you've never called on the name of the Lord, but if we have sung that hymn with any kind of meaning and understanding, and if you come just as I am, knowing of your fears within and fightings within and fears without, knowing that you're poor and unclean before a holy God, then you know his answer to you is exactly the same this morning as it was to this leper. I'm willing, be cleansed. And then notice the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we are told in verse 13 is, immediately the leprosy left him. Again, when it comes to sickness, the Lord can heal by process, or by instantaneous exercise of his divine power. But by and large, we see, of course, in the New Testament that these outward physical healings seem to decrease. Well, not seem to, they can be demonstrated in the New Testament. Even Paul does not know healing, and so on. Many other examples. But sometimes God miraculously heals. But what we do know is that these diseases and these uncleanness, which speak to us about our inner uncleanness, our spiritual uncleanness, if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon his cross work, his payment for the penalty of our sins, then we can know this, that he immediately forgives us. Immediately. Now some people say, well, they've had certain kinds of experiences. Other people say, well, I'm not sure whether I know I have been forgiven. You see, whether it is doubt or certainty, that must never be based on our experience. As we read in Galatians chapter 3, it must be based on the work of Christ who became a curse for us, who bore our curse. It must be based upon the promise of God that says, but to as many as received him or believed in him or come to him in this manner, he gives them the right to become the children of God. And so we mustn't put much stock in our doubts. We mustn't put much stock in our certainties apart. Certainties based on experience or feeling. Whether they be spiritual or otherwise. But based solidly on Christ, the solid rock I stand. And the eternal word of God, as we've seen in Isaiah 40, repeatedly. Heaven and earth will pass away. But the word of our God stands forever, as the Lord Jesus Christ declares. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or the smallest letter of the law will pass until all is fulfilled. Immediate cleansing. You know, you can be certain of that today. Sometimes believers live with uncertainty of forgiveness over certain kinds of sin, especially repetitive sin. But we come humbly, and we must come humbly. We mustn't come presumptuously. And we must come with some degree of what the leper does here, falling on his face. And as we read in Galatians, if you are believers, he says, oh foolish Galatians, and he talks about obedience to the truth. If we come in this manner, then we can know for certain that God forgives us, and he does so immediately. And then thirdly, in verse 14, notice the charge of Jesus Christ to the cleansed leper. He charged him to tell no one. We don't have much time to deal with it. But this is quite a curious charge. In many parts of the Bible, we're told to let our light shine. But you see, at this particular time, and because of what it might attract, and who it might attract, the Lord Jesus Christ charges him to tell no one. Why? Precisely, listen carefully to me, precisely because if you talk about religious experience and if you talk about healings of the body, people rush to Christ. They have no interest in inner cleansing. They have no interest in sanctification of the soul. And Jesus Christ did not want people to rush to him based simply on these physical ailments and his power to heal them. And we mustn't preach the gospel this way. We mustn't extend the word of God this way in terms of signs and wonders that are limited to our outward and earthly circumstances. In fact, what does the Lord Jesus Christ say about signs and wonders? He says, an evil and an adulterous generation seeks for a sign. And the only sign that will be given him is that of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the disciples stumble and fall over this, and we'll come to it, of course, during the transfiguration. And so he charges him, so that he might understand that the important thing is the cleansing of the soul. And that's made particularly clear in the second part of the verse. Verse 14. Don't go tell anybody. But he says in verse 14, go show yourself to the priest. That is, as we are cleansed We are to testify, he says that, so that it might be a testimony to the priests. We are to testify to the church, to the gathered church, in this case, according to the Old Testament, to the priest, because if we know anything about the law of the Old Testament, then the leper was declared unclean by the priest, and he was received back upon his healing or cleansing by the declaration of the priest. And he was to be received from alienation of the congregation to the temple or to the synagogue. As is always the pattern of the Lord in saving grace. I read the book of Acts, and they're added to the church to be a testimony to them. And then you notice how he says, thirdly, just as Moses commanded. In other words, we are not saved according to the law, but we are saved by grace through faith, so that we might keep the law of God. Moses, later on, we'll come to it, God allowing, in Luke chapter 16, but they have Moses and the prophets. Moses and the prophets, so that we might do it. Go and show yourself to the priests. Exactly what the Lord says today. And we consider it in our treatment of Hebrews. Do not forsake the assembling of the saints together, of the gathered local church. And so the Lord Jesus Christ charges him not to get a new wardrobe and find a place to draw attention to the physical healing, but to submit himself and go to the priest as a testimony and to keep the commandments that Moses had given them. In other words, to be engaged in the public means of grace, so that with all the saints, he might glorify God and grow in the grace of God, as Ephesians 3 tells us. It is with all the saints. There's no personal Christianity in the sense of private and secluded. That's why the Lord's Supper is a public ordinance of the local church. The baptism is a public testimony done by the local church. And growth and grace involves this public worship. And then lastly, we are given something about the private practice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16. So he himself often withdrew. Well, the publishers have put the word often in italics, which means it's not there in the original. So himself withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the wilderness, or goes into the wilderness. He withdrew from the people. Just what we were told, according to his commandment, not to tell anyone. There's still the word got out, and many people came to him to be healed and to hear him. And so you see, you have this emphasis of the two means of grace. The private means of grace, the reading of the Word of God and prayer. And you know this, we're told, aren't we, at his baptism that he was filled with the Spirit. When he was filled with the Spirit, he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And when he was in the wilderness, after 40 days of fasting, the devil comes to tempt him. And this Son of God, filled with the Spirit, responds to the temptations of the devil by the Word of God. How do we know we are filled by the Spirit? If we are filled with the Word of God. Exactly what happens on the day of Pentecost. Peter, filled with the Spirit, got up and spoke the Word of God. And so, here we have the public and the private means of grace. The private means of grace is exemplified by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the public means of grace, as he taught it and practiced it himself, as his custom was, he always went to the synagogue. He did not neglect it. For prayer and for study and for teaching. And so, those who are cleansed and those who would be cleansed must evidence their cleansing by the private and public means of grace. And we must listen to the word of Moses and the prophets. And we must continue in the apostolic doctrine and prayer. But the action of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to close with this, in touching the leper is far more an expression of his compassion and his power. It is that, but it's far more than that. Shows us his infinite power and purity. Just like the sun sheds its ray on infected skin, he's not affected by the infection, instead acts as healing to the infection. The Lord in his purity and power can heal those whom he touches. And it's much more than, as I say, his power and his compassion. It's a parable. It's a parable, a prophetic parable of what actually he does for the forgiveness of sin. We have it in Isaiah 53, we have it in Genesis 3, and following all the sacrifices. We have it explicated or described in Galatians 3 and 13 in our reading. See, what happened is that on the cross, the Lord Jehovah placed our iniquity and our uncleanness upon him. And so that we are told in Galatians 3:13, he became a curse for us. He not only touched the unclean leper, thus ceremonially defiling himself, but upon the cross, and even before the cross, but the cross is the apex, the climax of his redemptive work. But on the cross, all our uncleanness and our curse and our defilement was placed upon him. And that's what these emblems typify. He was broken for our iniquities. He bore the curse of our iniquities and thus died on the cross, not the physical sufferings, but the Holy One of Israel, bearing the defilement and the uncleanness of our sinfulness. That's exactly what was being portrayed. He's speaking of that which he is going to do for us. Not merely healing the leper, but taking all the iniquities of his people upon himself, and thus becoming a curse, so that we who are under the curse of the law and sin might be redeemed because of his payment of the price of our sins. Jesus Christ is able and willing to do this?
First of all, for us as believers, remember what I read from John chapter 13. Those who are bathed, he who is bathed needs only his feet to be cleansed. We need daily cleansing. And the daily cleansing comes from his sin bearing. And for those who have never known cleansing and are not right with God, but under the judgment of God, here's the gospel in a word. He became a curse for us to redeem us from the curse of the law. And so here is the summary of it all. The leper, hearing that Jesus Christ had come to a certain city, the other gospels tell us it's Capernaum, what does he do? He fell down on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, make me clean." Are you willing to do that? Are we as a group of believers willing to be instructed so that we might grow, as Matthew Henry says, in humble reverence and a true understanding of what it is to blush for our sins? It's not often that I blush for sins before God. But sometimes we're embarrassed before people. We might even be embarrassed before ourselves. But if we come this way, then his eternal pronouncement and his unconditional pronouncement, if we come this way, no matter what the sin, is, "I am willing." Why? Because he bore the curse for our sins, so that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law. He bore our uncleanness. All our sins were placed upon him, so that we might be pronounced clean. May the Lord help us to come to him. And not only come to him, but grow in the spiritual understanding and the spiritual teaching of this particular leper, so that we might be enriched in the things of God and grow in communion and likeness to our Savior. Amen. Let's respond by singing hymn number 500.